Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Discuss and unpack tonight. Here's what we're going to talk about. Life in the Spirit, okay? Life in the Spirit. As you know, Sunday morning, we celebrated as the church Pentecost Sunday, which was it's the day on the calendar that we recognize the fact that the Holy Spirit was poured out and was released on the church through the apostles, and we get the opportunity to live in the power of the Holy Spirit and to walk and live in the Spirit. And I want to unpack that a little bit more because I believe most Christians don't have a very broad understanding of what it means to live in the Spirit, okay? A lot of Christians have the understanding of the fact that the Holy Spirit is what Jesus left here, and that's really what they think is what. But the Holy Spirit is not a what, he's a who. Who the Holy Spirit left here that we can have a relationship with, that he wants to be with you everywhere you go in everything that you do. So next week, we're going to start in the first week of June going through the fruits of the Spirit in a 9-week series. Every Wednesday night, we're going to tackle them in order, and we're going to talk about love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness. We're going to cover all 9 of them. But tonight, I want to talk to you about living in the Spirit. Here's why. Because if you don't live in the Spirit, you can't reap the fruit of the Spirit. Okay? Just like Jesus said in John chapter 12, verse 24, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Here's what I mean by that. You can't have the bearing of fruit unless there's the planting of a seed. Okay? We are in the first year of ever having a garden, and every single morning I go out and I look and see how much our garden has grown. And it's just mesmerizing. How it really is, how quickly stuff grows. Like you go from I'll see it last night and then come and it grew overnight. And it's absolutely amazing to see. But it all started because we planted a seed. Right? And the Spirit of God must be living inside of you, guiding you, directing your heart, directing your words, directing your steps, directing your motives in order to reap the fruit of the Spirit. And a lot of people wonder, why don't I have any fruit of the Spirit? It's because they're not allowing the Spirit of God to take root inside of their hearts and call the shots. Okay? And we must die to our desire to lead our own lives so that we can live in the fullness of his power. If you want to live in the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit, you have to die to your own desires. Unless a grain of the wheat falls in the ground and dies, that's our part. Our responsibility is to die to ourselves. His responsibility is to bring forth fruit. If you will die to your desires, your thoughts, your motives, and you allow the Holy Spirit to direct and guide your motives, your thoughts, the intents of your heart through his word, through relationship with him, he will bear fruit. And so we're going to start talking about fruit next week, but it's so important that we start here of having relationship with the Holy Spirit, because so many Christians want the fruit of the Spirit without relationship with the Spirit. But we've got to learn how to walk in the Spirit, okay? Because I want Wednesday nights to be more focused around teaching, very discipleship based, okay? Because preaching is great and there's a time and a place for preaching, but in order to grow, I truly believe that we must receive teaching. And we talked about that in our growth chart series a couple months ago. The T in the growth chart stands for training, right? And in order to be trained, you must be taught something, right? And for a moment, I want to talk about something because I'm learning something in my walk with Christ. And I think a lot of believers don't understand this, is that I want to talk about the importance of Bible teachers and having Bible teaching in your life. It's important as a Christian that you receive a healthy amount of Bible teaching. Now listen, 8 times in the New Testament, it says that Jesus began to preach or that he preached. 8 times in the New Testament, Jesus preached or he began to teach. 17 times, it says he began to teach or he taught. Okay? So he taught twice as much as he preached. He preached 8 times that we have record of, okay? That's not the only times Jesus ever preached. We have record, but how many of you know that God put information in this book that he wanted us to know, that he wanted us to study, he wanted us to find out? 8 times it says Jesus preached or began to preach, but 17 times it says he taught or began to teach. So according to the record that we have, Jesus taught twice as much as he preached. Okay? Now, here's why this is important. First, I want to point out to you that 45 times Jesus was referred to as rabbi or teacher. People would literally come to him and they would call him teacher. Why? Because he would teach them. He was known for teaching. And a lot of times in the church today, when we say someone is a teacher, that's a nice way of saying they're boring. Okay? If you've been in church for a while, you understand, you'll hear somebody and they will preach and you'll say, well, they're more of a teacher than a preacher, right? You'll say stuff like that because they don't get excited, their voice doesn't get elevated, they don't shout, they don't jump, they don't cause people to stand up and clap their hands and get excited. And so because they're boring, we've discovered this nice way of saying they're a teacher. But I want you to know that that's really, really ignorant and ridiculous to think that, because real teaching isn't boring. Real teaching is empowering, and it comes with expectations. It demands something from you. It says, here's the way that you should walk, and here's what you should do with this information. And it's not just about getting excited. It's about applying it to your life. It demands something of you. And actually preaching, listen to this. We think preaching is someone that yells and shouts and invokes a response in people. Preaching is actually meant more for the unbeliever than the believer. Okay? I want to show you this in Scripture really quick because I want to teach you. I want you to understand. Majority of the time when you find the word preach, preached, preacher, preaching in the Bible, it is in relation to sharing the gospel message with unbelievers. I would venture to say, I've studied this a little bit. 99% of the time, preaching is in regards to speaking to unbelievers, heralding the gospel. Romans chapter 10, how will they hear unless there's a preacher? If you look at the 8 times that says Jesus preached, it says he preached about righteousness. He preached about the kingdom of God. He was inviting people that were not a part of the kingdom to come and join the kingdom. If you look at Noah was a preacher of righteousness. His family was the only righteous people around. So he was preaching to unrighteous people. But teaching is for the believer. Because how do you teach someone something that they don't even believe in? So you preach to someone in order to get them saved, and then you teach them, right? So we've turned preaching and teaching into a stylistic approach. They're a preacher, they're a teacher. Why? They shout and they don't. They get excited, they're calm, cool, and collected. But that's not what it is. That's immature to think that way, because it's the content that matters, not the delivery. You can teach in an exciting and charismatic way. If you're teaching the Word of God, you may be shouting, people can run across the stage, but if you are teaching believers how to live a Christian life, then you are teaching. In fact, preacher is not listed in the fivefold office that God gave us of pastors, apostles, prophets, and teachers. Pastors, prophets, apostles, teachers, and evangelists. I missed evangelists. Evangelists would most likely be preachers, okay? But teachers is what God gave. So anyway, on Wednesday nights, I say all that because Wednesday nights is going to be 99% focused on teaching. Why? Because everyone here is a believer. So I'm not trying to get you saved on Wednesday nights. Now, there are some people sometimes on Sunday mornings that I may preach because why? There may be lost people in the congregation that need to get saved. But here, as I look around, I'm pretty sure everybody's saved. If not, just come talk to me afterwards. We'll get you saved. It's okay. You've been hiding from God long enough in the church, okay? Anyways, so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get into the Word. Father, I ask for wisdom and the anointing to teach your Word tonight to your people. God, I thank you for hunger. Lord, I thank you for desire. I thank you for people that would come and take time out of their schedule on a Wednesday night to sit in a room and listen to the Word of God be taught. And I honor that in them tonight. And I pray that your Word says, God, that those who honor you, you will also honor. And those who lightly esteem you shall also be lightly esteemed. So God, I pray tonight that by the efforts that have been made to be here and to honor your house and your Word, that you would now honor your people by allowing the Word of God to be taught in a clear and anointed manner. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so let's talk about it. What does it mean to live in the Spirit? What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? We talked about this a little bit Sunday morning. Galatians chapter 5. Go ahead and turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. We're going to, most of the scripture that we're going to read tonight is going to be found in the book of Galatians chapter 5. That's also where we find the fruit of the Spirit. So this is a wonderful prelude to next week as we begin to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. But tonight we're going to talk about what it means to walk in the Spirit so that we can produce the fruit of the Spirit. So Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 is the first verse we're going to read, okay? So if you're going there with me in your Bible, go ahead and get there. Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to read verse 16, and then we're going to skip down and we're going to read verse 25. Now, like I said, this I want to tag on to what I closed with Sunday, because these were the last two verses that we read on Sunday morning, and this is going to be our starting point for tonight so that we can lay the foundation of what it means to live in the Spirit, okay? So Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, Paul says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of your flesh. Skip down to verse 25. Paul then tells them, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 14, very familiar passage of Scripture says, for as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. So anyone that has been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, which he shed his blood for all, but only some have chosen to receive that salvation, repent of their sins, and come into the fold of the kingdom of God. And those that have, that are led by the Spirit, they're the sons of God. The sons and the daughters of God should be led by the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, not fulfill the lust of our flesh. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And as believers, our number one goal should always be to please our Father. That's our number one goal. Not to get more money, not to be more blessed, not to be more prosperous, not to be more famous, not to do any of that stuff. Our number one goal is, how do I please God? In fact, the Word of God says, if I seek to please men, I'm not pleasing God anymore. So you're either seeking to please God or you're seeking to please men. But we should long to bring pleasure to Him. And you cannot please God and fulfill your lust of your flesh at the same time. Yeah. You can't do that. I know we would love to do that. We would love to me, fulfill everything that I want, every desire that I have, and still be pleasing in the eyes of God, but you can't. So in order to bring pleasure to God, we must not walk in the lust of our flesh. Well, in order to not walk in the lust of our flesh, we must walk in the Spirit, okay? So you can't do those two things at a time. So therefore, walking and living in the Spirit are imperative to pleasing God. You know why? Because the Spirit helps us and leads us. What does Jesus say in John chapter 14 and John chapter 16? The helper, the Holy Spirit, the helper. He's so much of a helper that he has gained it as a name, okay? Name represents character. It's in his character to help you and lead you. And I want to ask you, you don't have to raise your hand, but I want you to think about this for a moment. And I want you to be very, very honest, because in church, because we know the right things to say and the right things to do and when to lift our hands and when to nod our heads. But I want you to take a close examination of your life. When was the last time you asked the Holy Spirit to help you with something? Specifically, you were facing a challenge, a problem, a decision, something at work, something at home, and instead of getting mad, instead of getting discouraged, instead of worrying, instead of running here or running there, instead of asking this person, I said, when was the last time that you just said, Holy Spirit, I need you to help me with this situation? When was the last time? Now, I'm a true believer that if we asked him for help more, we'd ask him for forgiveness less. Yeah. Okay? Because we wouldn't sin as much. If you ask the Holy Spirit for help more, you would ask God for forgiveness less, because he would show you the perfect thing to do. He would show you exactly what you need, when you need it, how you need to do it, why you need to do it. He will lay out a perfect plan and a perfect order for you. If you'll just say, Holy Spirit, I've got this situation at work. I don't know what to do with it. I don't know how to respond to my spouse when they say this. I don't know how to respond to my children when they're not listening to me. Would you show me how to do this? And I'm not even just talking about spiritual things, even things like, Holy Spirit, would you help me remember where I put my keys, okay? Because he wants to help you in every single thing. He's meant to be a constant companion and not just somebody that we experience on occasion. But unfortunately, that's what the Holy Spirit has become on so many people, is they don't live in the Spirit. They don't walk in the Spirit. So when they walk into a church, when they walk into a believer that is walking in the Spirit, they encounter and they experience it and they're like, wow, this is great. But we don't walk in it 100% of the time for ourselves, sadly. So if we live, I want to go back to that scripture, Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, I shared this Sunday morning, but I want to break it down just a little bit more tonight because this is so powerful to me. If we live, that word live is the word zoe in the Greek language, and it literally means having been made alive by. So he's saying, if you've been made alive by the Spirit, then walk. That word walk means be in sync with the Spirit. Step in step. I want to read to you from Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Because it says, but if the Spirit of him who raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also, what? Give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. That's what Paul is writing and saying in Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. If you have been made alive, because he also wrote in Romans chapter 8, that if the Spirit dwells in you, then the same manner that he resurrected Christ's body on that Sunday morning in the grave, he will also resurrect and give life to your mortal bodies. It's called hermeneutics. Scripture interprets scripture. You can find out more what the writer is saying by finding a reference point. And having received life, having been renewed, empowered, purified, and resurrected by the power of the Spirit, having received all of that, our response should not be to go to the Spirit and away from the Spirit. I'm in the Spirit. When I'm at church, I'm in the Spirit. When I'm reading, I'm in the Spirit. When I'm praying, but when I'm at work, when I'm at home, when I'm participating in my hobby or my responsibilities, it's almost like we become absent-minded of the fact that he has given us a companion that is meant to be with us 100% of the time. And we think that we can walk in and out of the Spirit. I'm with the Spirit now, I'm not with the Spirit. When I'm with the guys, I'm not with the Spirit. When I'm with this person, I'm not with the Spirit. But he wants to be with you all the time. That's what he's saying. If it's almost like him saying, how can you abandon the one that gave you hope? How can you abandon the one that gave you life? How can you abandon the one that redeemed you, saved you, healed you, set you free? So he's saying, if you've been made alive by the Spirit, don't leave and go back to what made you dead in the first place. Stay connected to the Spirit, right? When the Spirit raised Jesus from the grave, he didn't go, thanks, see you later, and go do whatever he wanted to do. He walked in the Spirit, right? So, but that's how most Christians treat their relationship, unfortunately, is when they only come to the Holy Spirit when it's convenient for them or when life gets too hard for them. If it's easy, they'll walk in the Spirit. If it gets really, really hard, they'll run to him for help, right? But rather, Paul's saying we should walk in perfect synchronization with him at all times because he will be with you through it all. That's why in Galatians chapter 5, I told you we're going to spend a lot of time there. That's why in Galatians chapter 5, Paul starts the entire chapter. He knows where he's going. He's going to wrap it up with the fruit of the Spirit. He's going to talk about walking in the Spirit, not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. If we've been made alive by the Spirit, let's also walk in the Spirit. Verse 1 of Galatians chapter 5, he says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again to the yoke of bondage. Now, if you understand Scripture, interpret Scripture, you'll also understand that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? Liberty. And that's what he's talking about here. Stand fast in what? The liberty. Liberty that can only come by the Spirit of God, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Do not return again or be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Here's what he's saying. Don't run back and forth between freedom and slavery. Freedom and slavery. Stand fast in the liberty that the Spirit of God produces in your life. If you live by the Spirit, if you've been made alive by him, if you've been awakened by him, then walk therefore in the Holy Spirit. The only way to stay free from the bondage of sin is to walk in the Spirit. Live in the Spirit. It sounds difficult, right? That's what I know that's what we're all thinking. How do I 100% of the time stay connected to the Holy Spirit? Doesn't he know that I live life? Exactly. That's why he wants to be with you through life. So I want to give you three ways to stay connected to the Holy Spirit. Because I could sit here all night and tell you, walk in the Spirit, be in the Spirit, don't leave the Spirit. But you would probably just leave here going, wow, all I know is I should walk in the Spirit, but I don't know how to do that, right? Wouldn't it be a lot better if you were taught how to? Well, let's talk about how do we live life in the Spirit? How do we keep in step with him? Here's the first one. You ready? This is probably the most important one. Talk to him. Amen. Talk to him. So the reason so many people don't have a relationship with the Spirit of God is they never talk to him. They get a moment where they shake and they get goosebumps and they say things that they weren't planning to say and they get the gift of tongues and then they never talk to him. They never use the gift that was implanted inside of him. They never speak and converse with him. Listen to this. You cannot have clarity without communication, okay? That will apply to every single aspect of your life. You can take that to your marriage. You can take that to your job. You can take that anywhere. You will not have clarity without communication. You will not have unity without communication because communication cultivates clarity. And listen, no one is as good of a communicator as they think they are. Everyone needs to get better at communicating. Do you realize that if you get better at communicating, your marriage will get better, your relationship with your children will get better, your relationship with your boss, your coworkers, everyone will get better because communication creates clarity. And also your relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit will get better when you communicate, right? Because Amos chapter 3, verse 3, I love this translation. I love the way this says, this is a New Living Translation. Can two people walk together without agreeing on which way they're going to walk? Right? It says in the New King James this way, can two walk together unless they are agreed, right? Unless they agree on which way to go. There's only one direction to agree on, and that's whatever way he wants to go. Right. Okay? So you just decide that inside of yourself. But you won't know which way to go if you aren't listening for him to tell you. And you aren't asking him and having conversation. Just like Pastor Madison and I cannot be on the same page without communication. If we try to parent without communicating, we're going to parent our children two completely different ways. But if we stay on the same page and we communicate, there will be clarity. And through clarity comes unity. And through unity comes agreement. And there's the ability to lead our children the way that God wants us to lead them, all because we communicated. It's the same way in our relationship with the Holy Spirit. We cannot know where he wants us to go if we don't communicate with him. But that's the beauty of having him inside of you. He's not far away. If you're filled with the Spirit, when you feel something, it is completely just immersed in that thing. If I were to fill a cup with water, then there would be nothing else inside of it. And the Holy Spirit, that's what he says. He says, be filled. You will be filled with the Holy Spirit. When we're filled, that means we have everything we need. And I love what John the Baptist said. He said, he, speaking of God, gives his Spirit without measure. Some people are thinking, I need more of the Spirit of God. He does not pour a little bit on this one and a little bit on that one. He gives his Spirit without measure. Just like his love. He gives you everything that you need, okay? So how do I talk to him? How to communicate in the Spirit? Well, pray in the Spirit, right? Pray in the Spirit. Just every single day, make it a habit. Make it a part of your life. Speak to him like you would speak to, you know, people always talk about talk to God like you're talking, like you're just talking to your friend. Well, the Holy Spirit is really the one that you're supposed to do that with, okay? Because he's living inside of you. He is your friend. He is your helper. He is your advocate. He is your paraclete. He is the one that is right there with you. And it's amazing what he will show you, what he will remind you of, what he will steer you towards, what he will steer you away from. And so keep constant communication with him. So you want to walk in the Spirit, talk with the Spirit. You cannot walk in the Spirit unless you talk with the Spirit. Trying to live a productive and holy life without the voice of the Holy Spirit being present in your life is like trying to navigate the ocean in the middle of the night with no compass, no radar, just out there in the middle of it trying to figure out how to get back home. I would venture to say, other than Pastor Lauren, none of us would get home if we were just dropped in the middle of the ocean with nothing. We would never get home. Some people can't find their mailbox without a GPS, okay? Maybe you're that person. You know, I saw some elbows and some ribs. Some wives were elbowing their husbands. Some husbands were elbowing their wives. That's okay. But that's how it is without communication with the Holy Spirit. You cannot be successful or powerful unless he's the one that's telling you, we need to go this way. We need to do this. And when he speaks, obey. And that leads us to the second thing, submit to him. Okay? If you want to walk in the Spirit, you have to submit to the Spirit. There will not be a moment or time where the Spirit of God will submit to you, your desires. And because is he your friend? Is he your helper? Yes, but he is still 100% God. So, I've heard people say, the Lord told me to do this, and then he and I had a little conversation. There should, and I'm not saying don't talk to him, but there should not be you trying to talk God out of something that you're supposed to do. You submit to him. When he speaks, you have a choice to follow what he says or to do what you think is best. Submission is a choice. Okay, that's why Paul would instruct and write, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. In other words, he's saying, make the choice to be submissive. And husbands should submit themselves to their wives as well. We should live in submission. And I encourage you to openly declare on a daily basis, Holy Spirit, I'm submitted to you. There's life and death in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. And we only apply that to what we say about ourselves or about others. But what about what we say to God? Holy Spirit, I'm submitted to you. Imagine if you started every single day with those words. There's power in those words. There's life in those words by saying, Holy Spirit, I submit to you. Now, I want to give you a couple reasons why some people don't submit themselves to the Holy Spirit. Okay? Some people don't submit to the Holy Spirit because of fear. What will happen if I submit my life to the Spirit? What will happen if I let him lead me and guide me in everything? Because we have built this ideology especially amongst men that I know what's best, and I've got to make the decisions, and I've got to be in control, and you know, yada yada yada. But some people say no because of fear. What will happen? What if it doesn't happen? Right? What will my friends say? What will my family say? You're not submitted to your friends and to your family. You're called to submit your life to the Spirit of God, to walk in the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit. That's what Paul's saying in Romans chapter 8, verse 14. As many as are led by the Spirit, and listen, a lot of people don't want to hear this, but that word led literally means put a collar on like a dog and be drug around. Meaning, I submit myself to you, Holy Spirit. Not that he will treat you like a dog. Don't take that wrong. But it means I am putting on the collar and saying, lead me. He doesn't put the collar on you and drag you around like a dog because he's a perfect gentleman. He doesn't mistreat people. But it's you saying, I am submitting myself. It's like when I love that James, right? Do you know that James and Jude were both brothers of Jesus? But when they wrote letters, they said that they were bondservants of Christ. That not, I'm the brother, you know. He's my brother. I grew up with this guy. We're just buddies. You know, they said he in the natural may have been my brother, but in the spirit, I've chosen to be a bondservant of Christ. I'm submitting myself to him. Okay. So some people don't submit because of fear. Some people don't submit because of stubbornness, plain old stubbornness. Just got, you know, a backbone inside of them that doesn't want to bend for anything, for anyone. And it makes me think of this Rich Mullins lyric that says, he's talking to God and he says, I'd rather fight you for something I don't really want than take what you give that I need. And that's where a lot of people live their life, is they're so stubborn, is they would rather fight you for something that they do not desire at all than take what you're freely giving to them that they really, really need. And it's all rooted and bound up in stubbornness. So some people don't submit to the Spirit because of fear, some because of stubbornness, some because of doubt, right? They doubt that it was the Holy Spirit speaking to them, leading them. Was that really him? How do I know? I've heard so many people have asked before, how do I know it was the Spirit? Right? I need to know. Like, how do I know? What if it was just me? What if it was the devil? Right? What if I don't want to follow Satan? And so what if it was him? Maybe, I don't know, you know, maybe it wasn't the Holy Spirit telling me to pray for that guy. Maybe it was the devil. He was trying to trick me into praying for that guy. And it's like, That's so stupid. Like, when you think about it, right? Like, how do I know that the Spirit wants me to encourage my neighbor that just lost their spouse? How do I know? Like, just do it, you know? Like, how do I know that the Spirit wants me to give money to my coworker that I know is struggling financially? How do I know? Rule of thumb, okay? Maybe you know where that term rule of thumb came from. We're not going to get into that tonight. Rule of thumb, though. If it's going to help someone, it wasn't the devil. Probably wasn't you, okay? Because we're selfish by nature. If it's going to help someone, just do it. You know why? Because the Bible says that you're not to withhold good from those when it's in your hand to do so. When you have the ability to help somebody. So whether it was the Spirit or not, if you have a desire to do good to somebody, you should just do it, okay? But most likely, it's the Spirit of God moving upon your heart, speaking to you, leading you, guiding you to do it. And here's the cool thing about submitting to the Spirit. The more you submit to Him, the more you get to know Him. The more you say, here's my life. It's like Pastor Frankie was here last week, and he was talking about, you know, with our finances. Just honoring God with everything that we have. Giving as much as we possibly can to those that are in need. The more you do it, the closer you get to Him, the more you get to know Him. And so many people want the benefits of the Spirit of God, the power, the demonstration, the gifts. And after the fruit of the Spirit, we'll probably talk about the gifts of the Spirit, but the gifts of the Spirit are no good unless you have the fruit of the Spirit, okay? Because you can shaka-laka-laka and lay hands on people and shout all you want, but if you don't love people and you're not joyful and you're not kind, then they don't really care about your gifts, okay? Had somebody tell some people one time, they were in New Orleans for an outreach, and they said, y'all should walk with me because I have the gifts. And it was like, I'm not walking with you. I don't want your gifts, you know? Anyways, but listen to this, okay? Benefits are reserved for submitted vessels, okay? So many people want the benefits of life with the Spirit without actually living with the Spirit. But the benefits are reserved for willing vessels. Submission to the Spirit will keep you connected to Him, and it will yield unprecedented results in your life. Things you never thought you could ever see happen. And submission promotes power. You want the power of the Holy Spirit that we talked about Sunday morning? Well, you got to submit. When you submit, it allows Him to work through you, but He cannot or will not work through a vessel that is not submitted to His lordship and companionship. So if you want Him to work through you, He has to be working in you. And He's working in you through your submission, okay? Here's the third thing that you can do to have relationship and walk in the Spirit, and that is host Him. Host Him. Just like, you remember when maybe you didn't grow up like this, but I grew up with a very hospitable grandmother, right? Like, anytime we came to her house, she was going to bake extra things and make sure that we had plenty to eat, you know? We were going to wake up to the smell of bacon, and there was going to be orange juice, and there was going to be pancakes, and just she wanted to make sure that when we came to visit her, we remembered it. It was special. That we knew that she loved us, that she would take extra measures to make sure that everything was just right. She would take us to the dollar store and let us pick out candy so that we could have a movie night in her basement. And she would take us to the Louisville Slugger Museum and just all kinds of fun stuff when we would come visit her. Why? Because she was an excellent host, right? Well, we're going to talk more about this in a minute, but we are the host of the Holy Spirit. We get to do that. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, do not quench the Spirit. You know how many people get a fire lit inside of them on Sunday mornings and quench it so quickly? That evening, the next day, as soon as they leave, they just quench the Spirit. Now, that doesn't mean that you're more powerful than the Spirit, okay? Because that word quench means extinguish or go out. To go out of the Spirit. So what he's saying in essence is don't leave the Spirit, because the Spirit won't leave you, but you can leave the Spirit. So that's what he's really saying is don't leave or extinguish yourself from the Holy Spirit. Don't do anything that would extinguish the working of the helper within you. but rather find ways to honor him, make him comfortable. Ask yourself this on a regular basis. How can I make the Holy Spirit more comfortable in my life? And listen, if you will seek to make him more comfortable, he will make sure you are more comfortable. Because one of the translations of the word helper that Jesus gave us as a name for the Holy Spirit in John chapter 14 and verse 16 is comforter. In fact, some translations don't say the helper, they say the comforter. Anytime that you try to comfort yourself, you're quenching, going out of the opportunity to be comforted by the Holy Spirit. He is a comforter. It is what he does. So we should seek to make him the most comfortable, because in doing so, he will comfort us in ways that we cannot comfort ourselves. So how can I make the Holy Spirit more comfortable in my life? Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, picking up in verse 15, "Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him." Okay? "Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside of the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know," right here, 19, "or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." What is he saying? Don't you understand, people, that you're meant to host the Spirit of God? How then can you go and entangle yourselves with sexual immorality and the things of this world if you're meant to be hosting the Spirit of God who's made you alive, who has renewed you, who has taught you in all things? He says your body is the temple. That word temple means dwelling place. It means the place that he rests, the place that he calls home, the place that he wants to be, right? So God has chosen for the earthly dwelling place of his Holy Spirit to be inside of those who he has redeemed. Those that should stand fast, therefore, in the liberty that he has brought into our life. So therefore, Paul warns us to keep ourselves from sexual immorality, impurity, all the things of the world, any other form of wickedness, because before anything enters our mind or our body, we should ask, will this make the Holy Spirit comfortable or uncomfortable? Before I listen to it, before I watch it, before I partake of it, will this make the Holy Spirit comfortable or uncomfortable? Will this quench him, or will this bring him pleasure and bring him joy? And the reason so many people don't walk in the Spirit is they don't want to do this. Yeah. They want to watch what they want to watch, listen to what they want to listen to, eat what they want to eat, be who they want to be. But if you want to have a relationship with the Spirit, first you got to talk to him to find out what he wants. You got to submit to him, but you've also got to host him. You've got to say, whatever you want, whatever pleases you, whatever makes you comfortable, I don't want to cause anything to move me away from you. So host him by listening to him and submitting to him. The way that you host him is by following steps 1 and 2. Talk to him. Just like with your spouse. I remember there were things when Madison and I first got married that because she grew up in the Douglas home and I grew up in the DeVries home, we did things completely different, right? Where the ketchup was kept, right? I mean, just little stuff. Do you keep it in the fridge? Do you keep it in the pantry? Okay, I got to know. Does anybody keep their ketchup in the pantry? Everyone keeps it in the fridge. Okay, we keep ours in the fridge too, but I grew up in a home that kept it in the pantry, and I hated that. That was like one of those things that, like, soon as I move out, I'm putting the ketchup in the fridge. Like, this is my house, and we will have cold ketchup, okay? So I'm glad to see that you guys are, we're all like-minded here. We can be in unity together. But you host the Holy Spirit by listening to him and by submitting to him so that you know what he likes and what he doesn't like, so that you know what he wants and what he doesn't want, And then you can ensure that you don't do what he doesn't want you to do. You don't go where he doesn't want you to go, right? So I want to close by going back to Galatians chapter 5. If we have been made alive by the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit, okay? And then that's in verse 25 of Galatians chapter 5. That is the next to last verse. Then it says this in verse 26. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another and envying one another. One of the things that I've noticed that is the quickest way to quench the Holy Spirit is when you get too big for your own britches. So many people, and this is how you, with, I almost made number four, and I guess I should have, is to stay humble. The other way to walk in the Spirit and have life with the Spirit is to stay humble. Because if you exalt yourself, he's no longer leading you. You're leading yourself. And that's a dangerous place to find yourself. Because you won't have the benefits or the produce that we find up in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And then verse 24 says, and those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh and its passions. So then he begins to tell us about living in the Spirit and not becoming conceited. Why? Because there is a great temptation once you have been filled with the Spirit, you've seen the power of God working through your life because the Holy Spirit will produce power in your life to begin to become conceited, puffed up, thinking you're all that in a bag of chips just because the Holy Spirit used you in your life a few times. So as you are being used by God, stay humble. Because one way to disconnect yourself, not that he doesn't leave you, you always leave him. One way to leave him and disconnect yourself is by becoming prideful. So here's the four things again. You ready? Talk to him. And I encourage you to do that every day. I love what the book of Jude says, praying in the Spirit, building up your most holy faith. If you have a prayer language, that is a secret language for you and God to use to communicate that no one else can understand. But it's a way. There have been times that I'll be praying in the Spirit, and all of a sudden I realize what I'm praying for. And I didn't even mean to be praying for that. I'm just praying in the Spirit. I just start speaking in tongues. I just start praying in the Spirit. All of a sudden, I'm like, I'm praying for the church right now. I'm praying for my son right now. I'm praying for my friend right now. Because the Holy Spirit is leading me in that prayer. And it builds up my most holy faith. Okay? So pray in the Spirit. Talk to him. Right? The second one is submit to him. Keep your life submitted. Say, you can lead me, you can guide me, because as many as are led by the Spirit, they're the sons of God. What does that say of those who aren't led by the Spirit? They're not the sons of God, right? In fact, it would imply that they're illegitimate sons or daughters, meaning they have the form and appearance and they say they're sons and daughters, but they really aren't because they're not submitted to his Holy Spirit to be led by him in their life, okay? So submit to him. Third thing is host him. Make sure that everything that you do makes him comfortable, right? I love when Brownsville down in Pensacola was in revival years ago, they had a saying, don't do anything to cause the dove to fly. Here's what they meant by that. When Jesus was baptized and he came out of the water and he was standing there with John the Baptist, the heavens opened and the Spirit of God descended like a dove, right? And he came down and he lighted upon Jesus and remained upon him. Okay? So what they were saying is, in essence, 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 16, don't quench the Spirit. Don't do anything to mess up what we've got going on. God is moving powerfully. We're seeing signs and wonders and miracles. People are getting saved. People are getting delivered. So we want to make sure that we're hosting the Holy Spirit the way that we should. And we should have the same mindset and thought process in our lives and in our homes. I don't want to do anything that makes him uncomfortable. And the fourth thing is stay humble. Don't think for a minute that you're bigger or better than you really are. Listen, he will encourage you. He will promote you. He will lift you up. But you just stay humble, stay submitted, host him, talk to him, walk in the Spirit. Amen. Stand to your feet with me tonight. I'm telling you, this is something that so many Christians are missing out on. They're missing out on love, joy, peace, all the fruits that we're going to start talking about next week. They're missing out. And you ever see a Christian and you wonder, why don't they love people, but they're a Christian? Why don't they have joy? Why don't they have peace? It's because they don't have the fruit of the Spirit. Why? Because they're not connected to the root of the Spirit. They're not walking in the Spirit, so they can't do it. They're still fulfilling the lust of their flesh. Amen? So close your eyes. Let's pray tonight. Father, I ask that you would communicate with us. As we talk to you, we also want to listen to you. That's one thing that I forgot to hammer home a little bit more, is don't just talk to the Spirit. Listen to the Spirit. Be open to hear what he has to say, to correct you, to just urge and move your heart in a certain direction, a certain way. So, Holy Spirit, we want to talk with you, not just to you, but with you. We want to talk with you. We want to be submitted to you. We want to host you, and we want to stay humble. But the crazy thing is, we can't even do all that unless you help us. So we're asking for your help. And I encourage you, church, ask him for help in everything, in natural things, in spiritual things, in emotional things. Ask him for help because he's the helper. He longs to help you. So, Father, I ask that we as your church would walk in your Spirit, that we wouldn't fulfill the lust of our flesh, and that we would be beneficial to every single person that we come in contact with. God, just like Jesus and the early apostles, as they walked, God, even they would lay hands on the sick and see them recover. They would pass by someone and their shadow would heal them. God, there was great things happening, and people's lives were better because they were walking in the Spirit. And so I ask that you would teach us better how to walk in you, that we would apply these things to our lives. We surrender ourselves to you in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. 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 Praise the Lord. May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you. May he keep you in his peace, and may he smile all over you in Jesus' name. Amen.